Manu Ginobili has become Batman, but does that mean he is a good fantasy option? That's what we're here to tell you. This is Fantasy Pick and Roll, your exclusive basketball podcast on CBSSports.com. I'm Jamie Eisenberg. Joining me, as always, is the best in the business, Sergio Gonzalez. Sergio's a busy boy these days. He's got video. He's got content to write. He's got a chat to do today. He's just got you covered to help you win your fantasy basketball leagues, and that's why he is the number one fantasy basketball writer in the industry. Sergio, how did your first week of fantasy basketball go? Did you win all your leagues?
I won 80% of them, which out of 12 leagues is, I don't know, I can't do the math, but I did better in most leagues than I won more games than I lost.
Yes, in two of the leagues that Sergio and I are in together, he had the highest scoring point total in one league, and he beat me head-to-head in our 30-deep league. But I think Sergio rigged the scoring so that he could beat everybody.
Highly possible.
In any event, so if you missed any of the couple podcasts that we've done so far, you could find them on iTunes and find them on the site, cbsports.com, fantasynews.cbsports.com. And you could check out some of the things we've been telling you in terms of how to set your lineup, some guys to pick up. Last week, we may have jumped the gun a little bit, but that's what happens when you're talking about week one on guys like Nenad Krstić, who came back down to earth after a big game. We liked Ty Lawson, who also has struggled recently. But at the same time, we also told you Channing Frye was going to be good. Sergio's been banging the Andre Blatch bandwagon since before the season started. As soon as Anton Jamison got hurt, he said that's a guy that's going to jump off big. And sure enough, he has. And we also told you that if Chris Kamen was out there, you should go pick him up. So some guys we were hot on, and I think they're going to stay hot. Some guys we were cold on, and you know what? Maybe they'll turn it around. But
to be fair, I believe I said that fantasy owners should be careful with Ty Lawson. I think you were a little bit higher on him.
I was higher on him than you were?
Then yeah, going
okay.
A little bit.
I'll have to go
we'll
back
check
and
the
listen
records.
To it.
We'll check the records.
We'll check that, though. All right, you also were high on Greg Oden, but we'll let that go.
That's true.
All right, so what I'm going to do today, Serge, is I'm going to go through your start and sit article that you have on the site. You can see that, fantasynews.cbsports.com. It's week two, start him and sit him. Sergio is trying to be like me and do a start him, sit him.
I absolutely copy.
No, he does it. He does that on his own doing, and that's why he's good. So start of the week is Mark Gasol. Tell me why.
I love his matchups this week, and we already saw in week one what he's capable of. He averaged 20 points and 11 rebounds in the first week, and he'll be playing everybody's favorite fantasy opponents this week in the Sacramento Kings and the Golden State Warriors. Anytime you have a fantasy player that goes on a West Coast trip and he gets to play those two teams, it's usually a good play. But the fact that he has those two and a Clippers team that also gives up over 100 points per game is bodes very well for Marc Gasol. Centers that played against those three teams last week had spectacular games, and I think Marc Gasol should be in line for some great numbers this week.
Do you see him putting up these type of stats going forward? Because I know we had some concerns about him coming into the year because of Zach Randolph being there and the addition of Hashim Thabeet. That's a tough one for me. Hashim Thabeet being a member of the Grizzlies now. On top of the fact that we're going to get Allen Iverson this week,
right,
and we still have Rudy Gay and O.J. Mayo, is he going to continue to play at this level?
No, there is some concern that over the course of the season, as the season goes on, with so many mouths to feed on that team, the amount of touches that they'll all get will diminish. With that said, in this particular week, with the matchups that they'll face against teams that allow a lot of shots, I think there'll be enough to go around for this week, which could actually cause a little bit of a mirage for fantasy owners. Will think, well, this will be the case every week with the Grizzlies, and they'll all be fine. But going forward, yeah, I am a little concerned that he won't be able to he definitely won't be able to sustain 20 and 10, mm-hmm, I think, this season. I think 20 and 10 might even be a stretch for this week, but I do think I could see him averaging in the high teens with double-digit rebounds and some of the other things that he offers. So I think this is going to be a strong week for him. In the long term, I am a little bit more concerned about him.
Sit of the week for week two is Andre Miller. Why?
Andre Miller is not very content in his current role in Portland. He talked about this in the offseason that had he known he was going to be playing off the bench for the Portland Trailblazers, he wouldn't have signed there from Philadelphia. And until the team figures out, until him and the team can get on the same page in terms of how they want to use him, maybe if Steve Blake continues to struggle, eventually he'll become the starter there. But for right now, Andre Miller is not the fantasy option that he's been in the past few seasons, and fantasy owners should just take a wait-and-see approach with him, because he does have the ability to turn things around. He just doesn't have the role and the minutes to do so right now.
You mentioned this in more so with Marc Gasol, but we don't usually talk a lot about matchups in basketball, because typically a player is who he is, and it's not like it's not football where a good defense can shut down a player. I mean, you see teams struggle against certain teams, mm-hmm. you know, because teams are better defensively. But do you take into matchups into consideration with every player, or do you just take it in with the marginal guys that can swing either way, more so in maybe basketball than any other sport?
Well, there's players you don't ever really consider take matchups into account for. Those are your high-end starters, your number one and number two options at forward and guard, or number one centers. Those players you typically tend to start no matter who they're facing. But with marginal players, your number three and four options, your number two centers, you start to take these things into account. And in the situation with Marc Gasol, I actually don't have the numbers in front of me, but the centers that that his opponents faced this week, last week, gave up huge numbers against, picked up huge numbers against those teams. So there is history involved. You have to take a lot of things into account, and the matchups do play a big role when it comes to your marginal players.
Okay, so more so if you see Golden State, if you see
Sacramento,
Indiana, Indianapolis, the Knicks,
teams
Phoenix,
like that.
If
Phoenix,
you see those teams on the schedule, play them no matter what, or
no, but if it
comes into play between a question between a guy
exactly.
and a guy,
if you're judging between two players, and all of a sudden one of those two players is playing Phoenix and Sacramento, go with the guy that's playing against Phoenix and Sacramento.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. So your guards are to start Mike Conley, Brandon Jennings, Johnny Flynn. Two of these guys I want to ask you about, because Jennings, I think the way that he got off to a start, and the fact, let's keep in mind, you just wrote this on the site and did this on the video. Michael Redd has an injury that's going to keep him out for what? And what exactly is the injury?
He re-aggravated the left knee that he had reconstructive ACL surgery on last year. He hurt that in Saturday's game. And he's going to be out for at least the next 2 weeks. They're just going to shut him down and hope that he recovers in time so that he can just come back and play. If not, I mean, he's going to have to be reevaluated, and it's highly possible that he could be out for even longer than the 2 weeks. Fantasy owners should be concerned about this right now. He's obviously a player to sit in week three. Brandon Jennings is one of a few players who I think will benefit. I like Charlie Bell to step up there at the shooting guard position. He's stepped up for the Bucks in the past. Last year he had he averaged double figures in scoring, around 13 points per game, when Michael Redd went down with an injury, and that was with Ramon Sessions there. And Ramon Sessions is now in Minnesota, so I think Charlie.
He is. I haven't seen him.
Yeah, he's barely played in Minnesota, but the fact that without Sessions there and Bell having had a history of stepping up in the past when Michael Redd is out leads me to believe he'll be the player. Carlos Delfino is also an option, but if I had a choice between two players right now, I'd go for Charlie Bell, even though Delfino might be the starter.
I want to disagree with you on Mike Conley, because we're going to see Allen Iverson Monday.
Yeah.
So why is Mike Conley a safe start?
We've had this discussion in the past in a few podcasts.
That was over the course of a season, though. But you're saying that he's a must-start this week.
Yes, I love
even with
those
Allen
matchups,
Iverson coming back.
I love those matchups.
What if he's sitting on the bench, though?
He's not going to be sitting on the bench.
Well, he's not going to be benched, but what if he's only playing 20 minutes a game?
He's not going to be playing 20 minutes per game. He's going to be the player that's going to be handling the ball for around 30 minutes per game for the Grizzlies this week. With those matchups, he's going to be charged with spreading the ball around to all those scores. Mm-hmm. He's going to get shot attempts because, like we talked about, those are going to be high-volume offensive games with everybody getting shot attempts. I can see him getting 10 to 12 shot attempts in the offense. And on top of that, high-end assist totals where he can average 8 to 10 assists per game this week just because of the inflated scores that we're going to be seeing. And I don't see it the way you see it, that Allen Iverson is going to be taking the ball away from Mike Conley. I think he's going to be taking shots away from O.J. Mayo, some from Rudy Gay.
I don't disagree with you. I think you're 100% right on that, taking shots away. But he's got to take minutes from someone. Where are the minutes coming from?
The minutes are going to come from a variety of places. They're going to play some small. They're going to play. He's going to get minutes from at the two and some at the point guard, but most of his minutes are going to come at the two. Plus, we're talking about a player who missed the entire preseason and doesn't have his playing legs under him. He's probably going to be playing 15 to 20 minutes for the first couple of games until he gets going again. and then we can start worrying about that. But I think in this particular week, because of the matchups, because Allen Iverson's not going to be 100% anyway, I wouldn't be too concerned about that. I'm more impressed with the matchups he'll be facing and the way he's gotten off to a decent start this year that I think Mike Conley's going to be in for a big week.
All right. I guess we'll wait and see.
Yeah. We can talk about this next week.
All right. Your sit guard, Jason Kidd, Raymond Felton, Manu Ginobili. Ginobili swats a bat, but he only has two games this week against Utah and Portland, and he's coming off the bench. Interesting the way that they're spreading the ball around in San Antonio. Raymond Felton, and I want to talk about Felton and Boris Diaw, because Diaw is one of your sit forwards. Mm-hmm. What is wrong with the Charlotte Bobcats?
The Bobcats were one of the lowest scoring teams in in the NBA last season.
Oh, last season.
Right now, they're looking like one of the lowest scoring NBA teams in the history of basketball. They can't put up points. That's not going to be the case all season, but they weren't expected to be an offensive force to begin with. They're having a lot of trouble getting the ball in the basket early on. That's affected several of their players, especially Boris Diaw, who became a fantasy darling in the second half of last season after being traded to Charlotte. It's just not there to begin with.
Is it missing the presence of Okafor? It's obviously not missing Rajah Bell from an offensive standpoint, but I'm sure.
No,
from,
I think Rajah Bell has something
to
do
with it. Well, I
was going
to say, he spreads the ball, he spreads the court out a little bit with his three-point shooting, but I think, to me, the biggest thing would be missing an inside presence, because as much as Okafor is not a low-post stud, he still commands some attention.
Right. So, no, I think there's a variety of factors, and I think part of that has to be, like you said, the lack of an inside presence. Part of that has to be Rajah Bell on the outside not being able to spread the ball around. Bell's going to be back this week. He could be limited in his first couple games, so fantasy owners should just take a cautious look at them this week and keep them out of your lineups. You don't want to have another dud of a fantasy week like you got from your Bobcats last week.
Your other start forwards are Steven Jackson, Danilo Gallinari, Paul Millsap. Can Gallinari keep this up? Is this what we're going to expect from him the rest of the season?
I wouldn't expect this from him the rest of the season. I mean, he
plays for the Knicks.
He does play for the Knicks. He's not going to drop 30 points on a regular basis. What we could see is where he drops 30 points one night. He scores in the mid to low teens the next few nights and then drops another 30 points. Mm-hmm. He'll get shots in the offense, and Mike D'Antoni has said in the past that he loves his shooting stroke. He's going to be used often to stretch out opposing defenses. His three-point stroke right now looks impeccable. He had 7 threes in one game last week, and he had another game where he had, I think, 6. Mm-hmm. I think he made 18 threes in the first 3 games of the season. And that's absolutely outstanding, regardless of if you're playing in a category-based league or if you're playing in head-to-head. He's a must-add if he's available off your waiver wire and you can afford the roster space. If you're not dropping, say, the likes of DJ, no, who wouldn't you drop for Danilo Gallinari?
Who wouldn't?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, just looking at some of the guys who struggle, I wouldn't drop Boris Diaw for Gallinari
right.
because I think he'll turn around. I wouldn't drop Villanueva. For Gallinari, I'd drop a Ramon Sessions.
Yeah.
For Gallinari,
yeah.
I would drop maybe a Corey Maggette for Gallinari.
That's
interesting. I would drop an Azubuike for Gallinari.
Okay.
I mean, I think
I'm comfortable.
Maybe Maggette's a stretch, but I think you're looking at guys.
No, but maybe not. Maybe not. I mean, if Danilo Gallinari gets this kind of run in that offense, I think it's not that much of a stretch to drop a Corey Maggette for Danilo Gallinari.
Okay, so Steven Jackson, you think he'll come around? Paul Millsap just continues to find his role, especially when Mehmet Okur dealing with this ankle problem.
And Utah has some pretty good matchups this week against some weak teams with weak offensive fronts, including the Houston Rockets and teams of that nature.
Your other sit forwards are Charlie Villanueva and Thaddeus Young. Your start centers are Chris Kamen, Andre Blatch, and Channing Frye. Can Frye keep this up as playing as the complementary big man to Amari Stoudemire?
I'll tell you what, I like what I'm seeing from Frye early on. They're using him a lot in a similar way to the Utah Jazz use Mehmet Okur. He's not an inside presence in the way that most centers are, but he can shoot from mid-range.
And he have 6 threes or 5 threes?
From mid-range and from beyond the arc. So
he had 13 threes last week alone, but
right.
I think he had 5 or 6 in one game.
Right, so you might not get the typical big man stats from Charlie Frye. He's not going to get you 10 rebounds.
No, but he's averaging, I think, 6 rebounds a game.
Right. He's more along the lines of a poor man's Andrea Bargnani than he is.
That's a great call.
Than
That's
he is going to be Shaquille O'Neal or
yes.
anything like that. But if he's available, we've talked about this in the past, you can't find centers like this at any point in the season. So the fact that he's going to be getting this type of run in another high-volume offense in Phoenix where he seems to fit in, he seems to be comfortable, he played college there, he talked about this going into the season, he feels like this is a chance to reemerge as a viable NBA player. And so far, that's been the case. I'm a big fan of Fry going into the first months of the season.
Yeah, you look at that offensive, that lineup at least. You know, you talk about Jason Richardson coming back. Grant Hill's playing at a very high level right now. And you have the two studs in Stoudemire and Nash, and Stoudemire's not playing at an optimal level yet. So anytime you play with a good point guard and you can make shots, yep, he will find you.
Absolutely.
Your sit centers are Greg Oden, Brad Miller, and Spencer Hawes. Is Hawes going to turn things around, or is this going to be a guy that's a bust for all the entire season?
I'll tell you what. The more I see about the situation in Sacramento, the more I think Paul Westphal just doesn't like Spencer Hawes.
Well, you know what happened this summer, right? With he didn't show up
right
for summer league.
Yeah, they got off to a bad start. But the other day, after Spencer Hawes actually had his first breakout game of the season, reporters asked him, hey, did you notice Spencer Hawes had a great game? He's like, oh, he did? He kind of just dismissed it like he didn't. I think he had 22 points and 10 rebounds.
Yep.
And he talked about, oh, I didn't notice he had a good game.
Well, a lot of it was in garbage time.
Sure, but, I mean, the fact that he has that kind of tone.
Oh, no, I agree.
Attitude towards Spencer Hawes is very troubling.
Believe me, you're talking to somebody who took Spencer Hawes in two leagues, mm-hmm, with the hope that he'd be a solid number two center with breakout ability. And
he has that ability.
Oh, no, without question, yeah, he has the ability. But
he just doesn't
not
have
the time.
The time right now. Yep. And I think we need, like, Dr. Phil or something to step in and resolve the issues there. Because the Sacramento Kings aren't going to be good regardless, but they might as well put their best players on the floor.
Yes, I would agree.
And Sean May is not their best player.
Wow, we must have practiced that. Mm. All right, real quick, let's just run through some injuries because you got to go chat. So let's just see here. Rajon Rondo, any concern about the ankle?
No, he was just in a heated battle with Chris Paul on Sunday that led to him being having his ankle heavily taped, and he was limping a little bit after the game. I wouldn't be concerned about it.
Josh Howard, do you anticipate him playing anytime soon?
I do think he'll play late this week. I'm hearing out of Dallas that he is expected to return to practices soon. That means he probably won't play for the early games in Dallas' schedule this week, but that could be a good thing. Fantasy owners could take a look at how he returns in the late part of the week and judge if he'll be a suitable start for week three.
Richard Hamilton, what's the deal with his ankle injury?
He is day-to-day. I think he'll be fine for this week, actually.
So you say he's a good start?
Yeah. Okay. Safe play in terms of health. Anyway.
Safe start. Okay. Mm-hmm. Paul Gasol, are we going to see him this week?
No. The more Gasol stays out, the more he gets disconcerted that this injury is taking too long to heal.
Mm-hmm.
The Lakers and Gasol have come out and said that he's not going to play until he's 100%, and that just doesn't seem like it's anywhere close right now. And we could be looking at an injury that could keep him out another week or two if it keeps going at this pace.
We talked about Iverson. He's going to play Monday night in his debut. Should be fine for this week.
I wouldn't start him.
Yeah, I know. I was going to say, you say don't start him yet.
I wouldn't start him.
Jermaine O'Neal is going to play through the broken nose. That's a good thing, especially with the start he's gotten off to. Devin Harris, what's the deal with his groin injury, and how long is he going
to
be out?
There seems to be a little bit of a disconnect between Harris and the Nets as far as the extent of the injury. Coach Lawrence Frank only ruled him out for this past game and tonight being Monday night, the first game of the week. When reporters asked Devin Harris about the injury, he said he wouldn't be back for at least a week, possibly 10 days. So I'm going to go with the player on this one because obviously he's the one that has to determine whether or not he's healthy enough to play. He's not going to be a player we recommend activating in week two of the fantasy season. Hopefully he can get back late in week two and you can start to have a better idea of whether or not he'll be a good start for week three. But it's a little concerning right now.
Nate Robinson, he's got an ankle problem. I think safe to keep him reserved this week as well, just to let him play himself through whatever funk he's been in also.
He might actually be up to 2 weeks, according to Mike D'Antoni.
So there you go. Keep him out.
That's an easy one there.
Vince Carter?
Vince Carter was supposed to practice today, and today being Monday again, and he was expected to be able to play Tuesday, so he should be a safe play this week.
LaMarcus Aldridge, what's up with his knee problem?
LaMarcus Aldridge banged knees yesterday, again being Sunday.
I gotta get this radio.
Yeah, this isn't working out very well. But he had X-rays after the game, mm-hmm, and X-rays were negative. He's day to day, but with big guys like that, Sometimes you worry about a knee injury lasting two or three games. So with the Trailblazers playing just three games this week, where possible, if you have any kind of an alternative, I'd actually play it safe and play the alternative.
Tyreke Evans is going to play through his ankle problem. Mehmet Okur is expected to be back from his knee problem, correct?
Yeah, he said over the weekend that he felt great, so he expects to play.
And then just quickly, Caron Butler is going to play through his knee problem. And what's the latest on Anton Jameson? Anytime soon for him or still middle of November?
We're still looking at middle of November. We'll probably get a reevaluation from the team pretty soon. And we'll have more on that for week three. But I wouldn't expect to have him in your lineup until week four.
All right. Well, you can check out everything Sergio has to say and everything we're doing, fantasynews.cbsports.com and cbsports.com. Again, we'll be doing this twice a week. You can send us your emails, dmfantasybasketball@cbs.com. That's dmfantasybasketball@cbs.com. Again, make sure you set your lineups, make sure you got everything in place, and we will do our best to help you to win your fantasy leagues. For Sergio Gonzalez, I'm Jamie Eisenberg. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you soon.